When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that charts a course through history one day at a time. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're examining the competing narratives surrounding the life of Captain William Kidd, a callous, vengeful pirate, or a wrongfully accused privateer, depending on who you ask. The day was July 6th, 1699. Captain William Kidd was arrested and jailed in Boston on charges of piracy. The arrest was made at the home of an Irish nobleman named Richard Coote, a.k.a. the first Earl of Bellomont. Although he was a longtime friend and financial benefactor of Captain Kidd, the Earl seemingly betrayed him as part of a British plot to make an example of a well-known pirate as a way to appease the Mughal Empire in India. After 2 years in Boston's Great Stone Jail, Kidd was put on a ship to London, where he would later be tried for his alleged crimes and ultimately put to death. Historians don't know much about the early life of William Kidd, only that he was born in Dundee, Scotland in 1654, and that his father, John Kidd, was a sailor who died at sea. From there, William's trail in history goes cold until the 1680s, when he reemerged as a sailor himself, then in his mid-30s. By that point, Kidd had resettled in New York City, which was under British control at the time. It's believed that he began his career at sea there as a privateer, someone who's been authorized by a government to attack the trade ships and colonies of rival nations. A pirate, essentially, but a legal one. However, in 1689, the captain who Kidd served under was deposed and replaced by Jean Fonten. Under his leadership, the mostly French crew began attacking Dutch and English colonies alike, without a privateering commission to do either. This was William Kidd's first taste of piracy, and it would seem that he didn't like the taste. In the summer of 1689, Kidd and the few other English crew members on board led a mutiny while anchored off the coast of St. Christopher Island. They waited until Captain Fonten had taken most of the crew ashore. Then, the mutineers seized control of the ship, murdered their remaining French crewmates, and sailed off to the nearby island of Nevis. There, the stolen ship was renamed Blessed William, and Kidd was elected as its new captain. He carried on working as a privateer for the next 2 years, but gradually his crew grew tired of the straight life and longed for a return to outright piracy. When Captain Kidd wouldn't budge on the issue, the crew mutinied against him and stole his ship while he was ashore at Antigua in the West Indies. At that point, Kidd decided to cut his losses and return to New York City. There, he married a wealthy widow named Sarah Bradley Cox Oort, and together they had two daughters. Kidd settled into a comfortable life as a respected member of high society, but within a few years, the sea came calling for him once again. In late 1695, Kidd was called upon by Richard Coote to attack several prominent pirates who threatened British interests, as well as any French ships that happened to cross his path. Since Coote was the acting governor of New York at the time, his request was backed by the weight of the British crown. It would have been politically dangerous to refuse such a job, so whether he liked it or not, Kidd was now both a privateer and a pirate hunter. The venture was mostly funded by wealthy English lords, including Coote, who had a vested interest in keeping British East India ships afloat and out of the hands of pirates. Kidd was given a letter of marque, signed by King William III, which authorized him as an English privateer. This wasn't a salaried position per se, but Kidd was entitled to the lion's share of any loot he confiscated from enemy ships, though the British crown did expect 10%. In short order, Captain Kidd was outfitted with a new crew and a new ship, the Adventure Galley. Once again, Richard Coote had helped make all the arrangements. Kidd set sail in 1696 and spent the next couple years patrolling the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean. He and his crew did well for themselves at first, catching pirates and racking up treasure and valuable commodities in the process. Eventually, though, their luck ran out, and Kidd had a tough time covering the expenses of the ongoing voyage. By the fall of 1697, many of the crew had deserted, and those who remained spoke openly of mutiny. That October, one of the crew urged Captain Kidd to attack a Dutch ship, something that would have been outside the bounds of their privateering commission. Kidd, a Dutch-born sailor himself, responded by fracturing the crew member's skull. He died the following day. Shortly after that incident, rumors began to spread that Kidd often engaged in other cruel, piratical behavior, such as drubbing and keel-hauling, the details of which we won't go into here. Whether true or not, Kidd was soon branded a pirate by members of the Royal Navy and became a target of their pursuit. Not long after, in January of 1698, Captain Kidd made what many historians consider to be his fatal mistake. While sailing near India, Kidd and his crew caught sight of a 400-ton cargo ship called the Kedah Merchant. It was filled to the brim with gold and silver, as well as valuable goods like satin, silk, opium, and sugar. In other words, the Kedah was a massive payday for the Adventure Galley. The only question was whether it was legal for them to attack it. Since it was an Indian ship chartered by Armenian merchants, it should have been off limits to privateers who'd been commissioned to attack pirates and French merchants only. However, it turned out that the captain of the Kedah had purchased passes from the French East India Company, placing his ship under the protection of the French crown. Kidd believed that technically made it a French ship, kind of, sort of. So he went through with the attack and kept the French passes as proof that it wasn't an act of piracy, strictly speaking. Unfortunately for Kidd, the Kedah Merchant also had ties to a powerful minister at the court of the Indian Grand Mogul. The British government wanted to maintain friendly relations with the Mughal Empire, so when news of Kidd's latest capture reached England, they quickly denounced him as a pirate and called for his arrest. Once Kidd realized he was a marked man, he charted a course back to New York City, and along the way, he stashed some of the treasure from the Kedah Merchant on nearby Gardner's Island. These valuables were later retrieved and used against Kidd at his trial. It's widely believed that he also hid treasure on other small islands in the area, including Block Island and possibly even Liberty Island. Though if he did, nobody's found it as of 2022. Shortly after arriving in New York, Kidd received an offer of clemency from his old friend and chief financier, Richard Coote. Coote urged Kidd to join him in Boston, where he'd be placed under his protection until the whole piracy business could be sorted out for good. As a wanted man with few other options, Kidd decided to trust Coote and set sail for Boston. Sadly, it turned out that Coote was only interested in saving his own skin. He was worried that since he'd been the one who recommended Kidd for the commission, he might be accused of piracy himself. Coote figured his best chance was to capture Kidd alive and then turn him over to England as a show of good faith. And so, on July 6, 1699, Captain William Kidd was arrested in Boston on the order of Governor Coote. He spent the better part of the next 2 years in solitary confinement before being transported to Newgate Prison in London to undergo questioning, and then to the Old Bailey to stand trial. The trial commenced in May of 1701, but the outcome was largely a foregone conclusion. Kidd maintained his innocence throughout the proceedings, but in the end, he was found guilty of piracy and murder and sentenced to death. He was publicly hanged later that month at Execution Dock in London's East End. Disturbingly, it took 2 tries to kill William Kidd, and once he was dead, his body was strung up on a gibbet over the River Thames to serve as a warning to other potential pirates. His corpse remained on display for 3 years. Over 3 centuries later, historians still debate whether Captain Kidd truly deserves his reputation as a notorious pirate. After all, there was a fine line between privateer and pirate, and by most accounts, Kidd didn't really stray from his chosen side, though he may have towed the line every now and then. The strongest evidence that Kidd was framed as a pirate are those French passes that he had hoped to use to prove his innocence. They were conveniently misplaced during his trial and were only rediscovered in a public records office in London some 200 years after his execution. Those passes support the version of events he presented in court, and had they not been sequestered during his trial, Kidd's life and legacy may have turned out very differently. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. You can learn even more about history by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, you can always send them my way at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.